The Chodesh, the Chodesh. Okay, in this volume, it's Perek Chav Gimel, page Reish Nun Tes. The Perek is called Zikaron HaZichroin Alma De'asi Yishuv Hadas.
Reish Nun Tes.
Reish Nun
Tes. Only a page off.
Okay. This is a continuation, really, of Chav Beis. While we were learning, it really could have been one Perek, the Sugi of Yishuv Hadas, what that means, Liashav Daito. But here we're focusing more on a specific aspect of Mishpat, which is so essential to the avoid of Hezbaridus. Let's learn. Echad mi hayisaydis shel Hezbaridus b'chelik shay yishav adaz hu zichrayin zikaron alma de'asi. Anybody who's learned Lukut HaMaran, who's learned Rabbi Nachman Steyer's, sees that this is a very important part of the teachings of the Tzaddik, to remember the coming world. Now, usually when we speak about memory, it's something that already happened. You remember something in the past. But Rabbi Nachman speaks all the time about remembering something that's going to happen. Usually things in the future we anticipate, we look forward to, we dread, right? Something in the future. Rabbi Nachman always speaks of remembering what's going to be in the future. Klaimer, Lizka Tachlise Ha'achrein Lelam Haba. Of course, what Rabbi Nachman means by that, Nun Dalet is the main headquarters of that, look at Emran, is Lizka Tachlise Ha'achrein Lelam Haba, to remember all the time that the Tachlis of a person's life is not this world. To remember that the Tachlis is beyond this world. Not in a morbid way, God forbid. Rabbi Nachum is the hepech of anything like that. Always besimcha. But to remember that this is not the tachlis, and that life in this world comes to an end. To attach one's thought. Again, in a way, not of being scared or of frightened, anything like that, but to attach one's thoughts to the Alma De'asi, to the coming world. Person has to live with this memory, remembering Olam Haba all of the time. Has to live with this. But of course, what happens in life is that without his bodhis, a person gets caught up with all of the commotion of the day of day to day things, and doesn't take the time to remember that this is not the tachlis, and to remember that the tachlis is olam haba, is alam adasi. So therefore, one of the great benefits of his bodhis is that it creates that space to stop. And to think about and to remember Olam Haba. Hazman ha-mukha v'ha-masugu b'yoysu b'chatzayis ha-layla. Of course, the most powerful time for that is chatzos, is the time of midnight, of chatzos. Shu'eis rotzen, k'mavur b'zar kodesh, which we've learned a lot about. There's a tremendous eis rotzen, chatzos. Chatzos itself is a time in our lives that already has a certain smell of Olam Haba. The daytime is very much an Olam Hazadika Mitzias. The day is when we're busy. It's Olam Hazad. Everything is very Olam Hazad during the day. And Chatzos is that time where that is separating between the night and the day. And it's a time of remembering that at some point the day ends. At some point life ends. And there's something that's much deeper that's hidden in the darkness after the end of the day. It's a time to think about Olam Haba. Shu'eis rotzen k'mavur b'zar kodesh, az masugal adam l'suach im nafshay. U'lahaskil as ha-tachlis, it's quiet. And a person can speak to himself, to his soul, and from his soul. And to remind himself of the tachlis. Shebegina nishlucha la'olam. And for this tachlis, he was sent into the world. But even if a person is not a chatzos person, and he hasn't, that's not something that's easy for him, or it's in the meantime he's not in that place of chatzos. He kind of does a bechol eis mitzvah. Doesn't have to davka be chatzos. Chatzos is the biggest eis ratzon for this. It's the biggest eis ratzon, but it's lav davka chatzos. We're going to learn more about this in the upcoming parak of Nekudas Tovus. But chila yesh gam lasik bebira v'chipus on Nekudas Tovus hanim sozbo. And that at the beginning of his bodhis, a person should remind himself of the Nekudas Tovus, to remember also the good that he has in himself and the good in her life. To the bira to be and the chipus to search for those nekudas taivas, by dezeh yuchal agil a simcha, and that will bring a person to a feeling, an uplifted feeling of simcha, of joy. Shebekoich lishmas halev mikoach hamedama, which will protect the heart, mikoach hamedama, from that koach of imagination, that hashalit al adam animsa ba'atzus, when a person. When a person is in a state of atzus, of sadness, his imagination takes over. Koach hamadama. Rabbi Nachman speaks a lot, Rabbi Nosson, about koach hamadama. There's tremendous value to koach hamadama. We wouldn't have Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah without that power of imagination, a certain insight beyond what's rational, a super rational way of thinking. So there are many gifts that come from the koach hamadama. But the koach hamadama, when it's imperfected, when it's unhealthy, is very, very, very damaging. When a person's sad, he's in a place where it seems to him, where he imagines that there's no hope. He imagines that he has no future. He imagines that his whole life is worthless. He imagines unimaginable, terrible things during the time of sadness, of atzus. The time of sadness and depression, the koach hamadama runs wild. When a person's besimcha, then the koach lishmo is alive. The koach of simcha. There are many, 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 many benefits that come from simcha, and one of them is shmir is alive, to guard the heart of a person, not to get lost in that. Depression and imagination of hopelessness. It's a shmiras halev. When a person's besimcha, the heart is protected from the damaging effects of the koach hamadama that come with sadness. Adam hashari ba'atzvus, when a person is in a place of atzvus, of sadness, mislabeshes by ruach nechor, ruach shtus, ruach ra, he's enclosed in a disabling, foolish ruach ra. Atzvus completely takes over the person. A ruach ra takes over a person. Ruach shtus, ruach ra. And he becomes unbelievably vulnerable and in danger. And that ruach ra is so strong, the ruach shtus, that it can blind a person to all the gifts that he has in his life. It can make him blind to all that he has. All that he has already, and all that he has to look forward to, and all the good memories that he has, it can make him into a shaita, into a fool, into somebody that doesn't think, stops thinking, and is lost in that imagination, instead of being grounded in the koach haseichel, with the simcha de seichel, when the person's besimcha, he's able to think rationally. When a person is in a place of atzvus, then the irrational koach hamadama takes over, and he and he slips into that ruach shtus, into the ruach ra. And there's a lot of money that's being spent in the world to try to get out of that artificially with drinking and drugs and pornography and a lot of other stuff. It's not healthy. A lot of money is being spent. It's big business to try to get out of that place. Big business. To be able to be in a place of seichel. Me'adas, ashamikoicha, ashamikoicha. When a person has seichel, when he's in that place of seichel, not dimyan, not delusion and imagination, then he's able to think about the tachlis without becoming depressed. Just the opposite. That recognition of tachlis, Rav Kook spoke a lot about this. Rav Kook spoke more than any of the tzaddik about the fear of death. And how to eliminate that from one's life, not to overcome that fear of death. All that's depressing and scary and morbid that comes with the thought of death. The machshava of Alma Da'asi, of the world to come, in the mind of a healthy person, motivates. It doesn't depress or deactivate. It motivates a person to accomplish, to get things done. To be a productive person. And it creates a sense of urgency, of healthy urgency, of a life that's meaningful and productive, that comes with a realization, with that remembrance of the Alma Da'asi, of the world to come. This is not the tachlis. But what one can accomplish in this world is beyond anything one can accomplish in the world beyond this world. And that creates a feeling of, that motivates a healthy person. When a person is besimcha, that something which is exciting and something which is motivating, gives them a feeling of responsibility and accomplishment. And when a person's in the world of sadness, in that place of sadness, in the Kaicha Madama, so then it's the thought of dying, no hope.
Does one need to be in a state of simcha as much as it's not in a place of cosmos?
That's a good question. Is there any sort of a neutral zone between simcha and atzus? Is there a place of like a place of it's not atzus and it's not simcha? Is there a place like that that's in between? It would be called simcha light. it has to be. Is there a world that's between life and death? So a lot of movies were made about that, you know, zombies and, you know, whatever, the Twilight Zone, stuff like that. Is there a territory between life and death? So, you know, people have written a lot of things about stuff like that. It's science fiction, all kinds of things. Is there a place between sadness and happiness? No. There's happiness light. That means that one is not necessarily, you know, on fire and gewaldic and, you know, I want to sing a niggun right now. Not necessarily. It could be more of a quiet sense of satisfaction with life. And it doesn't have to be tavke.
The absence of sadness is still some form of sin.
Yes. Yeah, that's why there's so many different lashonis for simcha. I don't think there's any other emotion that has as many lashonis. Sasan, simcha, ditsa, chedva, rina, right? All of these lashonis. Can you think of another word in Lashon HaKodesh that has so many words? Because why is that? It's interesting how joy has even that word in English, joy, I don't know how many words are in English, but in Lashon HaKodesh, Oyd Yisham Verichuzer, Kol Sosm, Kol Sim, Kol Chosm, Kol Kol, Tzal Chosm, and then Rina, Dina, Ditzer, Rina, Chedva, Ahav, all of these Lashonis that you have, and, you know, the Malbim and the Goyim, they have such a good time with this, you know, the Ksava Kabbalah, all the big Medaktikim, they have such a good time with the distinctions between, like, what's the difference between Sosn and Sim? What is Gila? What is Rina? What is Ditsa? And there are more. There are more. I don't think there's any other word. There's any other emotion in Lashon HaKodesh that has so many words. And there's a reason for that. And I think that your question is a very good question, a very deep question. Because I think that it means that there are shades of Simcha. There are different shades of that emotion. It's Lav Davke. You know, the way people usually think about joy and there's shades of it, but Atzvus is crossing over, like it's like it's from light, and it's getting a little bit gray, but then it's black. Cross over to that place.
If you cross over to sadness, don't you need sometimes a little dose of that to counteract the joy, so you understand the difference?
There is a place for that. We find that in the writings of the Tzaddikim, especially in Chabad. The Mittler Rebbe wrote about this in a number of places, in the Rebbe Rashab, other Tzaddikim wrote about a little bit of Marish Chayra, a little bit of a certain gentle kind of sadness, but it's a very subtle sadness, and one has to be careful. It's not poshut to have to deal with that. Because when a person's not healthy, it can slip very quickly into something bad. So in general, the tzaddikim recommended to just stay on the side of joy. It's very hard to be in that place, but you see that the Rashab spoke the Rashab.
You know, when they write these things, Tanya, everything can't be, like you say, Ruach.
Right,
there has to be
right.
a sense of a weighted right. down.
So the Tanya and the tzaddikim spoke more, of course, about merirus, meaning about a bitterness. It's not the same thing as depression or sadness. That's something else. But what I did say a minute ago is that we do find in this farm that the Mittler Rebbe and other tzaddikim spoke about a certain little drop of marashchar. A little bit, something, but...
Is there more seriousness than sadness? Yeah.
It sounds like a little bit occasionally, a little bit on the side of sadness, but I'm afraid to even talk about it because it really needs a few shiurim, what that tipa is, what that drop is, because we're living at a time where people are so sad that it's not healthy and good to talk about that in the kuda. And therefore you see by the Lubavitch Rebbe Susilena that he very, very rarely comes. He doesn't really, even though he knew all of the tires of his ancestors, you don't see that he goes to that place. I mean, the Rebbe doesn't really go to that place, even though it's present, especially by the Rebbe Rashab. It's interesting, though. The Rebbe Rashab had a few sessions with Sigmund Freud. That's an interesting little chapter in history that probably not all the Babishes would admit, but it was something that he went through, and he spent quite a bit of time, even in a certain, had to be away a little for some time, quite a bit of time. Again, we don't understand the struggles of tzaddikim, what that meant, and what he was being misakin in the world. There was an Indian there, the Rebbe Rashab. There was something different about the Rebbe Rashab, and you see it sometimes in the Ksavim too. But I'm not chalila, saying it by chalila by way of anything negative. And I believe that it was a very holy thing, and that the Rebbe Rashab was lifting up the world with that avaida that he had, some Indian. And there is something in this Svarim, and not just in the Chabad Svarim, but there is something in this Svarim. And you see this, there is something even in Breslov as well. but it's not push it. It's not easy. And when you give, it's like if you have a, it's like when you have a person who's an alcoholic, and you say, you know, I know it's not healthy for you to drink, we're having, we're making a kiddush, but it would be very important for you to come to our kiddush. And then you, and then he says, it's not so good for me to be at a kiddush. No, I've been fighting against alcoholism my whole life. He said, no, but you would be very hurt if you didn't come to kiddush. And the guy doesn't know what to do. He comes to kiddush, and then it's not only does he come to kiddush, but then the friend says, I just want to make one l'chaim with you. You know, so that's how I feel when it comes to this topic of sadness, that the world is drunk with sadness, and you got to be very careful to stay away from even the tiniest little drink of that.
Is the Mora Shlora rooted in like Tisha B'Av and lacking Mashiach, Beis HaMikdash, all that stuff, or is it a broader?
The shurish of it. That's the shurish of it. But it's manifested in emotionally many and many different. But the shurish of it is in that, is in the Churban. The Churban Beis HaMikdash is the, but that's within oneself. There's a Churban Beis HaMikdash. And it unleashes that black, from the marishchara, that chemical of sadness. That, so you have to be very careful nowadays with any even talking about topics that make people depressed or could cause people to be depressed and sad, because the world is filled with alcoholics, with people who are drunk with sadness, and that's why it's a very, very dangerous thing to talk about. You're giving a little bit of, you're making a little bit of l'chaim with the malachamavis, the sinyan, but be very careful. The ikkar before Mashiach comes is besimcha, besimcha, besimcha.
So after Mashiach, there's no more sadness?
B'nas yogan v'anach. We say it all the time. No.
Surely Rebbe's not talking about avelus. Rebbe's talking about atzmus.
I'm not talking about?
Avelus. Atzmus.
I'm not talking. I don't go into the whole subject of Avelus and what Avelus means. Avelus also doesn't mean to become depressed, chas v'shalom. It's not Avelus. It's not Avelus. Every year Tisha B'Av, I tell you myself, Nahilei Kaidin Aver, every year Tisha B'Av, I begin some point at the beginning of Tisha B'Av, how the Kaidin Aver Rebbe was dancing on Tisha B'Av, and the Chassidim, that's already going too far. Right? The Rebbe is dancing at Tisha B'Av, and they asked the Rebbe, So remember what the Kohen Lever answered? He said that there's a mitzvah to be misabel on Tisha B'Av. You have to mourn on Tisha B'Av, and a Jew has to be mekayem the mitzvah b'simcha. Go figure that out. It's a very deep word. There's a mitzvah to mourn, and a Jew has to be mekayem the mitzvah b'simcha. So of course, the Kohen Lever is not saying that, God forbid, a person's loved one is lying in the grave, and you're supposed to make a rikud over there. But there are nihugim of avelus, and that's why it was an interesting thing that I remember many years ago. I had this idea. I was a bacher. I was maybe 15 or 16, and something came up. I was learning my cotton at the time during the summer. I was learning, and so I had on my table. I had a year a day. I was learning hilchas avelus because my cotton. So I was learning hilchas avelus. And my father came by and he, what are you learning? And he saw I was learning Avelis, and he closed the Shulchan Aruch. He said, well, I learned something else. I said, I'm in the sugyas. My father said, there are other sugyas to learn. You have to learn. This is not for you. You're Bach. You don't. He says, we didn't learn. Bachim didn't learn this. That's what he said. We don't. Bachim don't learn these. Just think that now there's 48-year-old married people with 7 children are bachur emotionally. Yeah. But the bachur is now this. The age of bachrus has been extended. even after you have the status of being married, if you spend enough time with people these days who are in their 40s and 50s, you realize that it's not like it used to be to a 40 or 50-year-old in general. There are some rare exceptions. Some of them are in the room right now. But 40 and 50-year-old now is not what it used to be. It's more like 16 or 17. And the problem is making shidduchim for these guys, because the girls are pretty much stable with their maturity. But the boys are, boys will be boys, that's what they say. And it's a serious problem. We're not going to go to that right now. It's a serious problem. It's a mixed crowd. I don't want to, that's not so nice to talk about. But that's a really deep question. Is there that zone? That's a question. But think about that. It's so interesting with the Indian of Simcha. It's a lot to talk about. think my wife is giving shiurim on the women. They're learning this. We're talking about some of these inyanim. Koch hamadama. Our appearance in this world is to prepare for the next world. Which again doesn't make this world meaningless. That's just the opposite. It makes this world very meaningful. Not meaningless. The world is meaningful, but only as a hachana for the next world. If your entire mitzvah is in this world, of this world that you see with your eyes, that's the source of all meaninglessness. But if you see this world as only a prezder that's leading to the next world, that's what makes life meaningful. There is no meaning. There's no inherent meaning in having some turkey and cranberries, whatever people. There's no inherent meaning in this world. There's no inherent meaning that the world is. It's not a dimion. The world exists, but it's elikus. It's a levush. And to the extent that one recognizes that, so then life becomes meaningful. All the people who bury themselves into this world end up feeling that the world is meaningless, that life is meaningless. But the ones who believe in Al-Madasi and believe that this is only a hunt for the next world, then life is meaningful. You would think that it should be the opposite. That if you believe entirely in this world, that it should be filled with meaning. But that's not what we see with people. It's not the way the world is. Those who invest themselves entirely in this world are always feeling unsatisfied, unhappy, empty, worthless. Because this world doesn't have any inherent value. It only has value for those who believe in the world beyond this world. It doesn't have its own inherent value. Some of you, you know, you're looking forward to some kind of a party, or you're looking forward to some kind of a piece of food, and your whole mitzvah is excited about this, looking forward to it. And then the second you're done with it, it's a kilu lo haya, it's a shum davar, it's nonsense. And that's what this world is. But for a person who knows that this world, like the Tzaddikim said, that if a person doesn't take this world seriously, then the world is a gevaldige world. But if a person takes this world seriously, it's terrible. It's terrible if you take it seriously. It's terrible. Like you can enjoy, you know, a person can watch a movie about war, some kind of a war, or like an old Western with how cowboys and Indians are killing each other and stuff like that. And you could actually enjoy it as long as you know that it's just a movie. But if you think that that's like, if you think that you're in the house and that you're surrounded by Indians, it's a bad thing. You know, it's not a good thing. You take it seriously. It's like that with everything. Koch ha-medam hu ha-koch ha-bahami sheyesh bod. Koch ha-medam, that koch of dimion, of delusion, of imagination, is koch ha-bahami, an animal, animalistic, irrational. It's irrational. Sheyesh bodem. Shekshu ha-lech achrov, that if a person follows those instincts, of the koch ha-medama, of his imagination, that which is not coming from seichel, but it's coming from a weak place of sadness and depression. B'shakurbo, and if he immersed in that, noifel me'ahavas Hashem la'ahavas ha-bahamis. Then instead of being able to love God, he falls into a place of ahavas ha-bahamis. He loves things that have no significance or no meaning, it could be dangerous or damaging to him, let the claim of the taibus olam hazeh, to the taibus of this world. It says an interesting thing, it's the Pashas told us. So it says anything by Esav. So Esav sold the Bechayr, right? So he sold the firstborn, the Bechayr. And it says that when he did that, and you know that on that day, Chazal say that he was Shaykh Domim, and he was Megalairah. It was a busy day for him with bad stuff. He was doing it was a terrible day. And Chazal said, Yotzame Olamo. He left his world. Yotzame Olamo. It's interesting, Lush. He left his world. He didn't die. Esav didn't die. He lived after that. It says, Yotzame Olamo. He left his world. What does that mean, he left his world? But that's, it's not only Esav that does that. It's when there's a world that a person should be living in and can be living in, and Hashem wants them to live in, and that's a world that's filled with Ahavas Hashem and Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas HaTorah, and a world that's filled with mitzvahs and so on. And Esav had tremendous koichos. He had a world of kedusha that was waiting for him. He had all of that, and he sold it. Yotzam he'olama, such a strong lashon. He left his world. That's why Mesillas Yesharim begins with, "Yisodei chasidus v'sharish avodah atimus yisbar v'yisam yitzal adam machavaso be'olama." And Esav, Yotzam he'olama, he left his world. You could see him sitting there and enjoying that first bite of this $350 aged steak. I didn't know that they did that to steaks. I found that on the list here. He's eating his $350 aged steak, and he says that this steak is out of the world. It's out of this world. And the answer is, it's not only that the steak is out of the world, you're also out of the world. Yotzam he'olama. He went out of his world. Out of his world. We have to daven every minute of our lives that we should be in our world. That I'm in the world that Hashem wants me to be in. The Kach HaDimyon takes you out of the world. You go to outer space. And then because you're miserable, then you need all kinds of things to somehow artificially give you a feeling that you're in the world, but they take you further out of the world and so on. It's a whole terrible cycle that people get in with all kinds of addictions. It's a terrible, terrible cycle of misery and sadness. And during that entire time, you're not in your world. You're not in your world. So that's what it says about Esav. He sold his world. And he yotzam he'olama. It's a terrible thing to happen to a person. Esav is a great person. Esav is a great person. We've seen this one that he had bigger kaiches than Yaakov. So we can understand that. He had bigger kaiches than Yaakov. So I'm talking about this very. But yotzam he'olama. He left that world. Huh? Yitzchak saw in Esav. Everybody's wondering, what's the matter with Yitzhak? He didn't touch up his son. He didn't understand his son. What do you mean he saw? He says, Vayetza Yitzhak lasuch basadim. Right? That was last Shabbos. And Esav his niece saw. Yitzhak understood. Yitzhak understood, and he believed that he knew that Esav could be Yitzhak plus. But Esav had such koich, such gevura that Esav had. But Yotzam he'olama, he left his world. He chose another world. He chose a different world. And then, ended up by the Arch of Titus in Rome. So he ended up, that's a different world, another world. By the way, that was a pretty disappointing place. When I grew up in all of our coloring books, like the Hanukkah and stuff, And I always imagined it was like miles wide, and it was, at the main entrance of Rome. And it turned out some pathetic little. I wasn't so impressed with that. Could have done better, the Rush. They could have made a nicer thing for it.
They didn't pay for it.
Jews paid for that. Jews paid for all that stuff. When we were in the Colosseum, she showed us there was also was built with money from Yerushalayim. Jews paid for the Colosseum, not Nassau Colosseum. Maybe they paid for that too, I don't know. I'm saying in Rome, that the Jews paid for that.
Yeah. The doors, the huge doors, you can imagine what the base of big was when you see it in Rome, how huge they are.
Yeah, I'll have to look. It's the side of Tumah, what's there. V'oznis talekis menu hadas hamitis. And when a person gets lost in that world of addiction, of that world that's not his world, but the other world. In that other world, he loses his das completely. He loses his mind. Not that he's not intelligent. He's very smart. But he loses his mind. He loses his das. That's why it's a ruach shtus. He's not a shaita, but it's a ruach shtus. He loses his mind. Doesn't this hadas, hamitis? He loses true das. True das. Hanim shechas meharis nishmasu. True das comes from the aura of the neshama, from who he really is. That's where true das comes from, the aura of the neshama. By dezehu noifel shikha. And when you lose your das, then you fall into a place that's called shikha, forgetfulness. You forget. Doesn't mean that you don't remember, you know, you don't remember things that you read, or you don't remember people's names, but then you forget that you're not in the right world. And you begin to settle into the wrong world, and you think that's the world that's your world, even though it's not your world. You settle into that world. Neifel Shikha, you forget the next world. You forget the world of a Jew, what the world of a Jew is. You forget what's the tachlis of being in the world. Why were you sent into this world? Like we were learning in the last parak from the Ramchal, to ask yourself every single day, why was I sent into this world? Hashem, help me to understand what's the tachlis for me specifically, and to say your name. Why was I sent into the world? And to remember what avodah is needed of me in this world, l'shem, as a hachana for the world to come. What is the tachlis? So shechei, you forget. Sheshechech l'shem ma higi el olam. V'libo meis bekirbo. Even though Esav didn't die that day, but meis bekirbo, but he was dead. Like you see people who are addicted. I'm only using addiction because it's very extreme and obvious picture of a person who's left this world. But it's like that too, even if you're not addicted, that a person is meis bekirbo. Where people are biologically, physically alive, but they're like meis bekirbo, they're dead. They're walking around like dead people. They're dead. Klemah hu ma'abed es kol ha'hergeishim ha'ruchnim. The person comes to a point where he loses all his ability to feel things spiritually. Shayuchakukim aluach libo, that are engraved deep in his heart, but the heart has been so damaged, so much damage to the heart. That he's come to this place of liba meis bekirb, that the heart is not functioning. Physically, it's functioning, it's pumping the blood, and it's doing all it has to do, but the heart, the emotions are not functioning there. He's lost his sensitivity to kedusha. So you find a person that a niggin, a good davening, it doesn't do anything for him at all. Doesn't do anything for him. A big, an unbelievable shtickel Torah. You know, now everybody's going out of their kalim when they hear this Torah. And this person, he can come to a simchas Torah, he can stand there on the side and he's looking at his watch the whole time. Can't, doesn't have even a regish, just the slightest tremor for Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. Doesn't feel anything. Akedei kach, has his heart been killed by years of being away, of the sadness, of the other stuff, of taivas and the Bahamis and the Kaicha Madama, that when it comes to truth, he doesn't feel excited by the truth. He feels only excited by lies and by falsehood. He feels excited by shows or by sports. Someone just told me that, I don't even know this, I never heard this lesson. Someone told me that her son likes extreme sports. You ever hear that lesson? Extreme. Yeah. I don't know what kind of, I only know baseball and football, and so I don't know what it means. I mean, by the Olympics, is that called extreme sports? Or they, I know they run a lot and they throw things.
Like,
and,
what's it? Helicopter. They drop you on the side.
Oh, something like dangerous.
Yeah.
That's called extreme sports?
Right. Yeah.
I know sports. So a lot of people do that stuff. Extreme.
They never came back to talk.
They didn't come back. So it's not like golf. It's not like golf or knock hockey and stuff like that. I never had that extreme sports. I used to play ball. So It's like playing ball on a tightrope over a mountain ridge. That's extreme. Okay. It has to be something thrilling, something scary, something thrilling. So that's called extreme sports. So there's such a need for the heart to be excited, because the heart is dead. When a person's heart has died, they try to revive it with all kinds of things, and I guess extreme sports, or these kind of whatever. You see how people are so meshuggah, like with horror movies and scary things, kinds of this type of stuff. The heart is dead, and they don't know. Trying to revive the heart with very extreme things. But that's it. That's a very, very great tragedy. We see a lot of that, a lot. He can't feel excited about the truth. So he gets excited about, you have a guy that he can't get excited about a Nishmas Kol Chai. It's in Shul Shabbos. Nishmas Kol Chai, the whole time is looking forward to going for Kiddush, you know, during the Haftarah. That gets him excited. A little schnapps and talking a little bit Lashon Hara or politics. But a Nishmas Kol Chai doesn't do for him. Doesn't excite him. A good davening, a good learning doesn't excite him. Probably today's a big day for football games. No, when I was growing up, that was a big day. Football and all kinds of special games, like the Rose Bowl, right? All that is, I don't know. They have all kinds of games, special football games on the
Rose Bowl is
but still, Thanksgiving, there's a lot of special stuff that they have. What does that have to do with being thankful? I don't understand what it has to do with thankful to celebrate in such a way. But the whole union of that kind of a sport, even the violence that comes with that sport and other sports, because football itself is, I'm not saying a regular two-hand touch, I'm talking about tackle football. It's a very strange union. These kind of things, I guess those are extreme sports. And people are excited by human beings who are trying to hurt each other. That's really what the Colosseum is all about, right? In Rome, to get excited at seeing people hurt each other, or put their lives in danger, and so on. Someone once told me many years ago when I was in high school that I never liked hockey. I never went to hockey. I wasn't interested in hockey. I mean, in the class, we did that with an eraser in the class. Hockey, I never went to that. I didn't feel it was an American sport. I thought it was for Canadians. I never took it seriously. And I wasn't expelled from it. Anyway, I never went to Ranger games or anything like that stuff. In my class, my friends, very few. There were two or three that were in the hockey. Mostly into the other stuff. But there was this one guy. And Nicholas, that he was crazy with the Rangers. I mean, he was crazy with hockey. He went to a game and we were talking to him about it. He said that he was disappointed there wasn't one fight in the game. There wasn't one fight. Like nobody was knocking. They weren't knocking each other with the sticks. So he felt disappointed, even though it might have been a good game, but there was no blood. There was no blood. So one has to try to understand this sugya, where that comes from, what that need is, it comes from hearts that are dead. What's the fascination that people have with horror things, with gothic, you know, there's people that they dress up with.
So Aish is an extreme learning shul.
Kedusha, the avoiding Kedusha is to fill ourselves with Nishmas Kol Chai. To fill ourselves with Kedusha. Yeah. To be excited over our world, not to be excited over another world. It's not our world. It's a very pathetic thing to see somebody that's excited about somebody else's world. If you like some 85-year-old lady that she tries to dress up and dance like a teenager, you don't feel sad? It's pathetic. You ever see such a thing? No. You see like some 85, 90-year-old lady that she puts on a dress and she puts on lipstick, you know, that comes to her nose and then she makes her phony eyebrows that go up to here and she tries to do cha-cha with the girls or something. It's a rahman. She's not in her world. It's the saddest thing when you see a person that's not in their world. And other people might say, oh, it's so nice. She's young at heart. No, she's brokenhearted. if she would be young at heart, that in her world she would have a chiyus. Not that she would try to find a chiyus in her great granddaughter's world. She'd have chiyus in her world. Machavoso be'olamo, in your world to have chiyus, not in somebody else's world. In your own world to have chiyus, that's wonderful to see. An old person that's in that world in a way that's filled with nobility and maturity and emunah, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. But when you see an old person that's trying to be a teenager, it's Rahman's. She still wants to be in that world, so she's not happy with her world. It's a tzibrach in a person. It's a tzibrach in a person. You have to be a teenager. You're an old person. Why can't you be an old person? Be a teenager. So everybody's impressed. Wow, it's like a young at heart. That's not impressive. That's the most depressing thing in the world to see. When I see those things, it gets me. I feel so upset about it. To be makabel your world and to function in your world and to be excited and happy in your world. In your world. In your life. Not the fianums, but in your life to be besimcha. With what you have, with your family, with your home, with your talents and your skills and your inyanim. That's called your world. Esav yotzem me'olama. Yaakov ishtam yoyishev ahol. He lived in his world. The worst thing is to leave your world. And that's what happens to the Kohanim. What we're learning here is that the avodah of his avodah is that which more than anything guarantees that every single day that you're Isaac and his avodah, every single day you are reminded of your world. Mitzad the mishpat, mitzad yishev adas, alma da'asi. All of this is to ground a person in the world of seichel, of das, and the world that he's in. And to prevent from slipping into the other world. Because day after day, if you continue on and on without stopping and remembering Alma Da'asi, then you could just disappear to other worlds. Somebody that you could dissolve. You have people that they're married and they dissolve into this one. So they're dating, they're going out with somebody. This one, she becomes him, he becomes her. They lose their world. They dissolve into somebody else's world. And that's only this far away from getting abused by another person. Now people live in abusive relationships for years and years and years. They can't get out of the other person's world. They're stuck in someone else's world. That's where abuse, people that are abused, that's terrible. How many times I've had this argument and fight with people over the years, get out of this situation, gotta get out. Some girlfriend, boyfriend situation, the way he treats her. I said, get out. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get out. And I had inyanim when I was younger. I could write books about these inyanim with the guys and the girls. And I myself went at different times to prevent the girl from meeting the boy. And the boy came with three guys once in Forest Hills to beat me up. The rabbi that I was trying to keep the girl away from came with two other friends to beat me up. It was a whole... And I'm telling the girl, you got to get away from this guy. This guy's destroying your life. I know. He loves me. He doesn't love you. He has sucked you into his miserable life. And you are now just a specimen in his test tube, in his laboratory of self-destruction. That's all you are, just a prisoner of his. How many girls, how many women are prisoners of these men in marriages and in relationships? You have the other way too, not only that way, but mostly is this, but you have the other way also, just prisoners. And where did such a thing, how did such a thing happen? You had a nice world. You left your world. You didn't believe in your world anymore. And you became absorbed in someone else's world that's unhealthy. And even if that person would be healthy, a good marriage doesn't mean to lose your world and to become absorbed in someone else's world. It means for these two worlds to be able to help each other grow and to respect each other's space and each other's world. Yotzame olam, mamish. When Chazal says such a thing, yotzame olam, when they say, like in Pirkei Avos, that there are certain types of behavior that Chazal described, kas and so on, that describe, might see in us ha'odam me'olam min ha'olam, might see in us ha'odam min ha'olam. They take you out of the world. What does that mean? Why do they use such a lashon? Because they just throw you into some other world. That's not your world. And you imagine that you're finding happiness in somebody else's world. And then you always realize, it's just a matter of time, but at some point you realize it, contrary, you don't realize, but at some point a person realizes that this is not my world. This is not my world. Somebody else's world. Sometimes a person, you have a kid that it dawns on them when they're 45 years old, that I'm just in my mother's world. In my father's world. It's not my world. It's not the world that I never chose this world for myself. My mother, my father, that I never chose this world for myself. I'm not talking about profession. It's like clinic, what you do to make a living, you do this, you do that. But I never chose this world. Who I am as a person. Who I am as a person, who I am, is not me. It's not me. And when a person realizes that, and he doesn't know how to find to get back to that person, he's too entrenched in the present make believe world that he's in. He doesn't know how to get out of it. So that's a lot of the sorrows of the world come from these feelings. You're trapped in somebody else's life, somebody else's world, and you don't know how to get out of it now. You're stuck because there's too much, you know, whatever, kids and wife, husband, or stuff to work, and I can't get out of it. I'm like in this whole web of, I don't know how I got here. And a lot of misery and sadness comes from being out of your world. Tachlis is to remember one's world, and what we're learning from, what we're learning is that the Avodah, a big, big part of the Avodah is about this is remembering the world, this world, through constantly being focused on the world to come. And the Shemel continues.